and she knew too that Nina knew she knew about Nonopolos's knowledge.
But the fact that we can laugh at such contortions of other mind inference in fiction is probably telling us something important about the way our minds have been naturally selected to work in the real world. In its lower orders at least, the intentional stance, like the design stance, saves time that might be vital to survival. Consequently, natural selection shaped brains to deploy the intentional stance as a shortcut. We are biologically programmed to impute intentions to entities whose behaviour matters to us. Once again, Paul Bloom quotes experimental evidence that children are especially likely to adopt the intentional stance. When small babies see an object apparently following another object, for example, on a computer screen, they assume that they are witnessing an active chase by an intentional agent, and they demonstrate the fact by registering surprise when the putative agent fails to pursue the chase.
The design stance and the intentional stance are useful brain mechanisms important for speeding up the second guessing of entities that really matter for survival, such as predators or potential mates. But like other brain mechanisms, these stances can misfire. Children and primitive peoples impute intentions to the weather, to waves and currents, to falling rocks. All of us are prone to do the same thing with machines, especially when they let us down. Many will remember with affection the day Basil Fawlty's car broke down during his vital mission to save Gourmet Night from disaster. He gave it fair warning, counted to three, then got out of the car, seized a tree branch and thrashed it to within an inch of its life. Most of us have been there, at least momentarily with a computer, if not with a car. Justin Barrett coined the acronym HAD for Hyperactive Agent Detection Device. We hyperactively detect agents where there are none, and this makes us suspect malice or benignity where, in fact, nature is only indifferent. I catch myself momentarily harbouring savage resentment against some blameless inanimate, such as my bicycle chain. There was a poignant recent report of a man who tripped over his untied shoelace in the Fitzwilliam Museum in Cambridge, fell down the stairs, and smashed three priceless Qing dynasty vases.
He landed in the middle of the vases, and they splintered into a million pieces. He was still sitting there, stunned, when staff appeared. Everyone stood around in silence, as if in shock. The man kept pointing to his shoelace, saying, "There it is. That's the culprit."
Other byproduct explanations of religion have been proposed by Hind, Shermer, Boyer, Atran, Bloom, Dennett, Kellerman, and others. One especially intriguing possibility mentioned by Dennett is that the irrationality of religion is a byproduct of a particular built-in irrationality mechanism in the brain, our tendency, which presumably has genetic advantages, to fall in love.
The anthropologist Helen Fisher, in Why We Love, has beautifully expressed the insanity of romantic love and how over the top it is compared with what might seem strictly necessary. Look at it this way. From the point of view of a man, say, it is unlikely that any one woman of his acquaintance is 100 times more lovable than her nearest competitor, yet that is how he is likely to describe her when in love. Rather than the fanatically monogamous devotion to which we're susceptible, some sort of polyamory is on the face of it more rational. Polyamory is the belief that one can simultaneously love several members of the opposite sex, just as one can love more than one wine, composer, book, or sport. We happily accept that we can love more than one child, parent, sibling, teacher, friend, or pet. When you think of it like that, isn't the total exclusiveness that we expect of spousal love positively weird? Yet it is what we expect, and it is what we set out to achieve. There must be a reason.
Helen Fisher and others have shown that being in love is accompanied by unique brain states, including the presence of neurally active chemicals, in effect natural drugs, that are highly specific and characteristic of the state. Evolutionary psychologists agree with her that the irrational coup de foudre could be a mechanism to ensure loyalty to one co-parent, lasting for long enough to rear a child together. From a Darwinian point of view, it is no doubt important to choose a good partner for all sorts of reasons. But once having made a choice, even a poor one, and conceived a child, it is more important to stick with that one choice through thick and thin, at least until the child is weaned. Could irrational religion be a byproduct of the irrationality mechanisms that were originally built into the brain by selection for falling in love? Certainly, religious faith has something of the same character as falling in love,